This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We got lineup issues, we got errors, and we can't score with runners in scoring position. That is the latest on the Braves. We're going to fill you in on all of that and much more. But this weekend, the huge decision we've been waiting on finally came down, and it's going to be something that we're going to be talking about for a very long time because it's going to change fundamentally how college football, certainly basketball, men's basketball, but all college athletics across the board is now done. And we got to talk about this with our buddy Connor Riley. Let's talk some dogs. So, Connor, we finally get the decision from Judge Claudia Wilkin, who approved the deal between the NCAA and the conferences. Okay, so now what? What happens next with where this is going to go? Specifically, let's just talk Georgia. What happens next?
Yeah, so I think the big picture thing is that now with the House settlement signed, starting July 1st, Georgia can begin sharing revenue payments, not just with the football team, but with all athletics. Now, obviously, the football program is going to command a wide portion of that money that is going and being doled out, $20.5 million. $2 million of that is going to go to new scholarships, so that's really you're working more with a pool of about $18 million. Okay. 75% of that is expected to go to the football program, and from there you will begin divvying out payments to players. The other prong that comes with this is the new NIL clearinghouse, NIL Go, run by Deloitte, that will examine and try its best to determine fair market value for NIL deals. And if something is so egregiously over the line,
right,
then that deal will not be allowed to go through. I think that's where a lot of the question now lies and reacts is what happens when that first NIL deal is deemed to be not good because you have someone that is willing to pay it. Does somebody sue? I would venture to guess almost certainly yes. And then there becomes the question of does this NIL go arm, the clearinghouse, hold up under court scrutiny? And that's sort of the thing we're all waiting on here. It sounds like all the schools, specifically within the SEC, want to and are willing to play by these rules. But when teams start losing games and they start falling behind, we'll see if that still ends up being the case.
Yeah, because I think it was talked about at the SEC coaches meetings down in Destin about, like, hey, we got to stop, you know, eventually no more court. And this sounds like this will be another I feel an injunction coming, you know, and it seems like you're right. Somebody who's willing to pay $5 million and this clearinghouse is going to, if this is the new framework and this has been, I guess, who decides on this? This is from this new Brian Seely because he's the new CEO. He appoints,
yes.
And Deloitte finds the valuation. No, that's too over the top. You can't be $5 million. Texas can only pay that guy $4
million. Right. So, you know, the Deloitte clearinghouse is supposedly will have a full look at all these NIL deals. And from there, they will be able to determine, okay, what is necessarily fair market value and what isn't. And then Brian Seely, he is the head of the College Sports Commission, which will also run the enforcement arm in case someone is violating these rules or breaking these rules. They will be able to come down and figure out how to go about doing this. You know, I absolutely agree with you, Mike, though. It just seems like we're waiting for an injunction. We're waiting for more court. That's kind of behind the scenes the way college sports and college football have gone in recent years. The whole reason this health settlement has become such a big deal because it was in court for so long, and now we have finally seen it come to resolution. And so, you know, I'm skeptical in the regard that we're going to see everybody play by the rules. This is the last major lawsuit that the college sports game that we have seen, I think, really spin out of control in the last 18 months or so is now going to be cleaned up. I'm very skeptical of that, but this is a big step forward by these schools now that they have this done. And now they can start moving closer towards other big picture ideas, whether it be a college football playoff format or the decision to go to one single transfer portal window in either January or April.
Connor, but let's be clear about this. This, what you're discussing right now has to do with competitive balance. And the way you get that is that I don't get to overpay and have a roster necessarily $10 million more than you, and certainly I'm not overpaying for players. So by doing this, and if it works, you are creating, allegedly, competitive balance. The Nico situation doesn't play out after this ruling comes down because nobody's going to pay him more than what he was getting at Tennessee, no matter what he thinks he should get, right?
Correct. The idea specifically when it comes to NIL, because you've got what you're getting from the schools and then NIL as well, you're not going to have that level of imbalance there, so to speak. That's why, in large part, you've seen, specifically in this recruiting cycle, a lot of kids announce early, get their recruitments done, because those, you know, some of those recruitments, the Jackson Cantwell, the five-star offensive lineman who ended up at Miami, because of the timing of that deal, it's not going to be under scrutiny from this new NIL Go recruiting arm. Now, moving forward, if a guy, you know, announces out of the blue that he is signing, that will be under scrutiny, and that NIL deal will be examined. So that is something that is different now moving forward. And to your point, Carl, I think this more levels the playing field to what we saw, because we had seen in recent cycles, not just in football, you know, the Texas Tech pitcher who led them all the way to the precipice of winning the national championship, she was a million-dollar athlete, and she's more of a, I think, a one-off than necessarily something you're going to see on an every-year basis. But what it does is it prevents someone from, you know, like, say, Texas Tech, who is drawing a lot of scrutiny this year, from going in and saying, hey, we've got $20 million we can burn. Let's just spend as much money and try to get as many quality players as we can and make one real big run at this. You've seen Texas Tech do that. I think you've seen Texas, USC, Ohio State last year, I think, is a great example of that. Those, I think, are a little less frequent and maybe happen more organically now like they used to.
It's Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation, our weekly visit with him. And by the way, much like the NFL, the cap right now, they projected to go up 4% each year in 10 years on this current deal, Carl. So it will go up a little bit. Hey, after we had our weekly visit with you, Greg McElroy made some news by saying he thinks Georgia's going to have a top five defense. I think it's the fourth best defense in the country. You buying that?
If that's the case, you feel a lot better about what this team can be this season. By the end of the year, I see it. They've got a lot of young pieces that I think if they come together, everything is there on paper to have an elite defense. They've got promising young defensive linemen. They've got as deep and as talented as a secondary as they've had. The question is, does it come together and does the schedule allow it to come together? Because sometimes with these, you know, top five defensive rankings and things that come out of that, a lot of that is dependent on schedule. That's why for so long, I think you see so many top 10 Big Ten defenses be top 10 nationally, because there are just a lot of very bad, frankly, Big Ten offenses. Georgia's not necessarily going to have that this year. They're going to play Texas at the end of the season when Arch Manning is much more fully formed than he is at the beginning of the season. They got to go play DJ Lagway in Florida in the beginning of November. They get Alabama and Ole Miss coming to Athens. They got to go to Auburn. You know, Tennessee has always been a potent offense, so I'm a little more skeptical of that this season. They're going to play another really tough schedule, and I do think that's in part why last year you saw Georgia's defense for a time in certain games, you think the Clemson game, you think the Texas games, look like a top five unit, but they weren't necessarily able to sustain it over the course of the season. I'm still skeptical with what they have on the defensive front right now, that they're going to be able to sustain that over the course of the season, but I do think that they're going to be able in certain instances to be able to summon an elite defensive performance.
Yeah, that's my concern, that defensive line. I'm with you. I want to ask you more about this ruling. What happens to, what's next? Athletes as employees? A CBA? Where do they go beyond this now that this has happened?
I think that, you know, collective bargaining, athletes as employees, I think that's the final step. And I think that's where there is some, you know, hesitation in declaring this a big win, because we know that's ultimately where this has to go. But at the same point in time, and this is something that Judge Wilkins raised, you know, collective bargaining, when you have so many college athletes coming in every year and cycling in for only a 4-year window, the idea of trying to get them all organized together and trying to foresee issues that are going to arise over the next 4 or 5 years of a CBA become a lot trickier to do. So I think for right now, this is something that they hope sticks for a while, because while some have mentioned, I know Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White voiced this and saying we at Tennessee would ultimately like to make our athletes employees. Not everyone is there yet, and that is going to take, I think, a lot of litigation, as we brought up with Mike earlier, to ultimately get to that point. But I do think that very smart people recognize that is where this ultimately goes. And again, it furthers a step of college athletics looking more and more like professional athletes, with ultimately potentially a CBA involved.
Because I know you kind of answered the question, because remember that was it Dartmouth or somebody was up in the Ivy League was talking about trying to unionize?
Yeah, it was Dartmouth.
Yeah, and then, you know, once, and that's the nightmare for somebody who's a college football fan. You think, oh, great, I'm going to get a strike now. And they'll strike right before the season begins. You know, it just seems like, you know, there's no end to it. That's why everybody who felt like this judge's ruling was going to be sort of like cure-all, it seems like, as you're bringing up, is more questions than answers, Connor.
Yep, and that's why this next month is going to be really, really interesting in college sports, because you have NIL go, the aforementioned clearinghouse going up later this month. You have, starting July 1st, payments going up. What all does this look like? Even from a reporting standpoint, you know, like how public are these payments that are being made to players via revenue sharing? Like how public is all that going to be? Because we know what the pros make. Is that same, you know, dollar figure amount, not obviously not going to be as high, but is the availability of that, of what these guys are making, of how much of the cap they make, is that going to be publicly available? It feels like this step, and not just because of the ruling, but everything that college sports has been leading to, leads to another step of professionalization of college athletics, college football in particular. And I certainly understand why a lot of people have grown frustrated by that, because myself included, you know, I like that college football and the NFL are very different entities in the way they run and the way that they interact. And if college football is just going to become a cheap knockoff of the pros, that takes a lot of the joy that I think we've gotten out of Saturdays, out of this sport, where, you know, the Saturdays themselves, you might be able to enjoy them, but you're not able to have the same year-round enjoyment from the sport that I think we used to.
What about the guy that's going to enforce all this? What do you know about him? I know he's got a baseball background, but, boy, it seems like he's got a lot of duties.
He does. This is a job that, again, the College Sports Commission, Brian Seely coming over, has a lot of background both in the legal system and with professional sports, working with Major League Baseball. This is a guy who, again, the commissioners of the college athletic conferences, you know, Greg Sankey, Brett Yormark of the Big 12, Tony Petitti of the Big 10, came together and said, this is the guy that we want running this. We want him to have no affiliation and not pick someone who had been in the college game for so long. That way they hope that there is, you know, no bias or no preferred handouts to specific leagues. Again, they want this to run as unbiased as they possibly can and hope that they're able to keep everyone in line. But again, I think with what we know from college athletics, from anyone that's been following this, it's only going to take one school going rogue, and we probably know who those schools are. You can run through the names, the Miamis, the Tennessee, the years, whoever they may be, who have consistently tried to skirt around and get ahead. We know that they're probably going to try to do that again and stay one step ahead of Brian Seely and this new College Sports Commission.
All right, but guys, we said only time will tell. One thing for certain, you don't have the depth because the money has to stretch and cover the 105. As you said, players get grandfathered in. But do you feel that Georgia is as well positioned because of what Kirby's built as anybody else to get back there and get the natty? It just seemed like, not that it was an outlier for Ohio State and Michigan. Basically, they were upperclassmen. They paid them to stay. So do you feel that do you feel that the national champion comes from the Big Ten and the SEC again?
From the Big Ten and the SEC, if you're giving the betting odds, yes, I do think that. And I think the biggest thing you laid out there, Mike, it was Michigan and it was Ohio State having the seniors stay in place and then thus ponying up to get them. And so the big things to monitor going forward are how well are you able to keep your younger recruiting classes together to get to the point where those guys are still with your program at the end of their junior year and deciding, hey, do I want to come back be a senior, or do I want to go on a professional rank? If Georgia can do that, and I believe that they can, I believe they're doing a better job of identifying those types of kids and players moving forward, I am confident that Kirby Smart's going to be able, you know, not to win back-to-back, I think that's going to become even harder, but have sort of those one-off years like you saw in Ohio State just have, like you saw in Michigan have, where all the stars and pieces come together.
Great stuff, Connor. Tell the people where they can follow you and follow all your stuff.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We've got a ton of more reporting coming out about this new house settlement and the way it's going to continue to impact college football.
All right, man. Great job. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
No doubt, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, there's a lot to kind of understand about all this stuff. But the bottom line is schools are directly paying their players. And now we got a cap. Just like we do in the NFL. You got a number that you can't go over, and there's going to be enforcement. Right. It's the easiest way to talk about this, Mike. And I just don't think you're going to see these evaluations of players coming into college being what they are and schools paying that now because, again, right. You've got this clearinghouse. A lot of stuff's about to change.
But as we just talked about with Connor there for a couple of minutes, it just seems like that's just a perfect situation that'll wind up in another courtroom. Where someone's going to say, "Well, I don't agree with that valuation."
We'll see.
And you know, why isn't it a fair market value? Who said these guys could set it? I would think the judge's ruling says, "Well, that is how we're going to do it."
Mike, you're right, but let's think about it this way. And I know we got to take a break. In the NFL, you get slotted, right? You're drafted in the first round. Right. You're slotted a certain amount of money. They're not going over that. Right. The reason they're not is because of the CBA, which gets us back to why that's the next step.
Right.
If you do that and there's a collective bargaining between these players that are coming in and the schools, now there is no debating about, hey, well, I think I'm worth $10 million and we're only willing to pay you $1
million. Right.
All right, we're coming back. We got more to get to, guys. More on our break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Braves, one-run games are nemesis. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Braves didn't have any answers this weekend, and we're still looking and trying to figure things out. It's so funny because I had a spirited conversation on social media with a guy named Travis who wanted me to put some money on the fact that the Braves would make the playoffs and get over 500 before the season's over. And look, we're not saying they can't. We're just saying that they're making it very tough on themselves to get back in that position. Every time you lose and you're you know, a game out, Mike, right. Now you're talking about 14 games out of first place. But getting in the playoffs, now we're talking about the wild card, right? Let's not put the cart before the horse. That, to me, right now is where we should be thinking until we find our way back. But Travis was saying, you know, basically that this team is too good to continue to play this way. And that is the illusion, Mike, that I think a lot of Braves fans have been saying to themselves, even myself. Man, Riley's better than this. Olsen's better than this. Well, sometimes in a season, they're not. It plays out this way.
Right. If you go back and we had these big analytics arguments about, you know, exit velocity, all that. So we got people fired up a few weeks ago, which really does seem like a moot point at this point, although Olsen is starting to hit the ball. And again, using exit velocity, put it over the fence or near the fence, and not his fault if nobody's on base. But if you go back to what he is and where he was in 2023, a lot of these guys are back to their baseball card. Remember, Sean Murphy was so bad down the stretch last year when he finally got healthy that they had to play Travis d'Arnaud almost every night down the stretch just to make the wild card. So, I mean, so if you want to get into these arguments, guys, the math guys love to go and take it. If you take 2023 out of it, it's been diminishing returns for a lot of these guys. You know, and what they are is getting back to really, you know, not elite hitters. You know, and certainly not at first base what Freddie was. I know you guys get mad when I invoke Freddie. Freddie's going to be here as an all-star. Our first baseman's not going to be an all-star this year, you know, unless he goes on a freaking tear, you know, these next 6 weeks. So that's part of it. So as Carl said, just clear it out. I mean, Braves fans, of all of the fans that we talk about and interact with, the ones who get in their bag the most. Falcon fans, I don't know if there's a fatalism amongst Falcon fans, you know, that who's it, Mina Kimes was talking about.
Yeah, because it hasn't happened for
but
us.
But I mean, but in the case of Braves fans, it's like if you criticize somebody, people lose their minds. And some Hawks fans get in their bag if we criticize Trey. Like we just talked about Julio, some guys are just, they identify with the athlete over the actual team. But with the Braves fans, all we're saying, guys, this team is not clutch. The bullpen has been brutal. Who out there is going to be rocking a Raisel Iglesias jersey anytime soon? You don't believe in him. So there's a lot of issues. You've got to still find a way, Carl, to get the pieces that will help you get things turned around.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, you think we're the only team looking for some guys at the trade deadline? Half of baseball makes the show now with the expanded playoffs.
You're only 2.5 games ahead of the last place Marlins. If that doesn't put things in perspective, I don't know what does. 404-726-0929. We're not talking about catching the Mets. We're talking about staying in front of the Marlins. I mean, that's where we are. So I just feel like, and Travis and I had this spirited conversation, they're just too good. The Braves have won more games, and he gave me these numbers about, you know, if they're going to win 88 games, okay. Are they capable? Yes. But until you do it, nobody cares.
You're 9.5 games out of the wild card. I mean, guys, we know that this team put on an amazing grind last year. Last year was a lot like this. Your team couldn't hit, couldn't really get on a good run. And they grinded, and again, as I said, the Sean Murphy that some of you guys feel is irreplaceable. And by the way, after that nonsense in game two of that series in San Francisco,
you're over
with
it?
That Ole crap. I mean, just I'm so over him. That's now if you want to talk about how do we fix it, you can get stuff for him. Now, I don't know what the open market would be, Carl, as far as a bidding war for a team that's needing a catcher. But I mean, if you could get a team interested in Sean Murphy, the best thing would be for him to hit and make him more viable. I know he does have some good slugging numbers at times. But to get him out of here and make Drake Baldwin your guy, that's one problem solved. Go try to get a better left fielder option until Profar comes back. Granted, Profar can't compete in the postseason if you made it. So you need to get some more setup men. You need another starter. You need to get a closer. These are all issues. I need an upgraded shortstop. I mean, you've gotten as much out of Nick Allen, I think, as you're going to get.
So during this 3-14 skid, right, because we've lost 14 of 17, 3-14 equals 17. We've been outscored by 8 runs. So that's the curious thing about this, is that we're not getting necessarily blown out. Look at the series this weekend. But stupid, silly mistakes lost games for you. Where is the focus? See, this is why I get back to the whole SNCC conversation when we talk about, do I have your attention? Do I have your attention? I don't know if he does. Because when you're focused, Mike, you don't get the silly mistakes that they're making in the field and certainly right. The errors. Listen, some balls are hard to play, and these guys are professionals, but this is what they do. So when we say, hey, you've been in every game, okay, well, baseball, good teams, you're going to play close games. The difference between the teams we believed in and this team, which I don't necessarily believe in right now,
is that they won the close games, that they found ways. They had clutch hitting and timely hitting, and they made those difficult plays in the field that got them out of innings. This team hasn't done that in this skid. And on top of that, Mike, 9-19 in one-run games. We do not win one-run games right now to save our lives.
A lot of guys asking us amongst other things, you know, what's up with Ozzie? Because Ozzie got on that nice little hitting streak. You mentioned Ozzie boots the routine grounder for him. A hard hit ball, but a play he makes 99% of the time. Talked about Sean Murphy. Some guys worried about Acuna looking at all those strikes last night or yesterday afternoon.
It was a lot.
I'm not trying to read something. Believe me, I'm not trying to read something to that.
No, it was a lot.
But
it,
I mean,
it felt that way.
He's looking at all those pitches, five pitches.
Yeah, it did. And real quick about Ozzie. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking about the Braves. Grant's going to join us coming up next hour. Ozzie's 28 years old. He is in the prime of his career right now, and he's playing the worst that he's played. I don't know why, but as I mentioned, he is a below-average defender right now, which used to be a staple for him. He was a way above-average fielder, and he's below-average hitting. Ozzie's a three-time All-Star, and we're sitting here talking about him like he's off the scrap heap. Like we just picked him up off the street, and he's some bum. This guy has shown us what he's about. But the problem is, when you're playing like this, Mike, and you don't know how to find your way out of it, you go, all right, well, is this the Ozzie now that we're going to get? Because I got to tell you, if Ozzie's hitting 232 at the end of the season, I got to think about moving on.
Yeah, he's a career 267 hitter. The big the outlier was 2019 when he batted 295. And, of course, 2023 when everybody raked, he batted 280. But he's gone down progressively last two seasons. Again, when everything that rains, it pours, you get the defensive miscues thrown in the mix. That's why, you know, I just think you start to have this question about a reset. And this is to your point about the guy you were arguing with on social media. Braves fans want to tell us we're going to come back with 14 games, let alone, oh, no, no, no. The last thing they want to hear about is blowing this thing up.
No doubt.
You know, and as I said with Alex, you know, Alex Anthopoulos, we've given him all this credit. For some reason, his blind spot has been starting pitching, whether it's not, you know, simply a function of the management doesn't give enough money. So knowing he's got a certain amount of money to spend, he's not going to spend it, $150, $170 million on starting pitching. He looks for value like the Chris Sale deal. He did give Spencer Strider $100. By the way, should he have waited? Max Fried couldn't get a contract. Spencer Strider got a $100 million deal. You know, and now you begin to wonder, is he going to be able to ever get back to what you thought he was when you signed him on that contract?
What do you guys think, man? This is where we're at. We get Brewers.
You mentioned Michael Harris earlier. Sorry to cut you up. And Money Harris has been brutal as well.
Well, look, the difference is, okay, so I just mentioned Ozzie's 28. Money Harris is 24. He got that money a few years ago, and they said, we got a bright future and a great defensive center fielder. The defense is elite, but he hasn't hit. He's hitting 230, 237. I mean, the problem is he's regressed at the plate. So you don't give up on a 24-year-old elite center fielder defensively, but, Mike, you've got to find a way to fix those problems, which gets us back to what you've been saying about the hitting coach. You got a new guy at the helm. What is going on? Like, is he really helping these guys, or is he just watching tape and going, I just keep swinging? I do not have the answer to that. I do not know.
Now, again, Kevin Seitzer, that was the 2023 season. Last year they couldn't hit. They grinded, made the wild card, and they fired him. They moved on. Bring Tim Hyers in. And Tim is like, you know, he's a younger guy. He's 53. And he's been around. He's a lifer, and he helped win World Series for the Red Sox and the Rangers. So he certainly knows what he's doing. But every coach doesn't necessarily get every team he's with. And the Braves have made it like the drummer in Spinal Tap. They fire hitting coaches all the time back in the old days. I'm just saying, I don't understand why you fired Seitzer in the first place. But whatever this guy's selling, this team ain't buying at the dish. These guys are awful.
Yeah.
So I just, and just when you guys thought it was a big whoop-de-doo and they moved Tuiasosopo down to the minors. I mean, if ever there was a guy that needs to be fired, no disrespect, Tim Hyers, what the are you doing? Well, what is your job?
Well, and Mike, here's the other part.
I know Tuiasosopo was a freaking windmill over there, no matter who was running, but this guy, I don't know what he does as the hitting instructor.
This is the other part. Then we got to get to some guy talk. Coming up, Falcon Report, guys. We're going to be up at Flowery Branch on Wednesday bringing you the show, Mandatory Minicamp, and we're going to have a few guests to stop by as well. Don't know who's going to stop by the show. Got to be here starting at 2 up there at Flower. It's going to be a lot of fun. Here's the other thing, real quick. Late inning close games. We're hitting 199. That ranks 25th in the league. See, baseball is a unique game where literally if you want to break down every pitch,
right,
every at bat, every team statistic, you can, because that's what baseball is. That's why these analytic geeks get so involved with this is exit velocity, Mike, and why your argument blew up.
Right.
Because everything can be analyzed, and sometimes it's overanalyzed. But if you want to say, well, you know what, we're losing close games, we're not that far. We're hitting 199. in close games, guys, and we're ranking 25th and 24th in OPS. How many baseball teams are there in the Major League Baseball? Seriously.
That'd be 30, Carl.
Okay, so there are five teams worse than us?
That's brutal. And by the way, I guess it's the Nick Allen fan club. Someone just hit me up. He had a hit. He scored just. He's batting 167 for the month, by the way, is Nick Allen. Okay, and Nick Allen is down to like 230 now. It is what it is. I mean, I give credit to Alex Anthopoulos. He tried to get guys off the scrap heap. Verdugo was hitting for a minute there. It's just, guys, you don't have the requisite pieces. So, yes.
The lineup is flawed.
Hypothetically, yes, these guys could all get hot. Okay, maybe we need to bring the old baseballs back, Carl, that they used in 23, because these guys can't seem to hit these ones over the fence.
Frustrated? Yes, we all are. We want to see the Braves win, and it shouldn't feel this way, but this is where we're at. This is our reality right now. Mm. I hope they go on a 10, 15-game tear. But how they played this year, do you have any belief that that's going to happen? Mike, what's coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, is the U.S. Open rough just too rough? Also coming up, thinking of a change maybe to spark it up for the Braves, should they perhaps use a penguin to throw out the first pitch? I'll explain. Carl and I were just talking about this rain, man. I'm ready for this rain to make it hang out of Dodge. Kids are out of school, want to have some fun. Yeah, it looks like we're going to have some more thunderstorms. You heard our traffic guy say it's going to be pretty funky out there tonight.
Yeah.
You lose power over the weekend?
No. Listen, it was funny because we were watching a movie literally when it started raining. And I said, you know, it'd be weird because we rarely lose power. And you guys remember Snowmageddon, right, when it snowed? We didn't lose power. Like, there were people around our area that, and we had power all the entire weekend. But the point is, it flickered on and off. And it went, and then it came back. And I was like, are you serious? And then it came back on. But little did I know, there were tons of people around, you know, Atlanta, different counties, depending on where you were, that lost power for the entire day.
Yeah, we had a little power surge at my house until Carl cooked the Roomba thing for the pool.
Oh, that's terrible.
The joy of home ownership for you kids at home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Go buy a house. It's very expensive. So a couple of things. In between the rain showers, I want to give a shout out to Night Ranger. The band played down at the Fred, which is a really cool little amphitheater in Peachtree City. And our good buddy, mutual friend of Carl and I's, Greg Hendrickson, Greg the Ref. Greg, who day-day working the state championship, trying to get down to signal a touchdown, and his hamstring rolls up like a party favor. And he basically crawls like he's on the sands of Iwo Jima to raise his hands up for the touchdown. And then collapse in a fit of agony as his thigh was all jacked up. But anyway, that Greg had a great time. He got the ticks and had a great show. But again, it's always kind of fun. I mean, an 80s band nostalgia, packed house. Playing the hits, got right through everything. Everyone was having some fun, so it was a good show. That was a nice time. Real quick, I'm going to give a shout-out to Dennis and his son Cody, who we met on the way in. They're big Dukes and Bell listeners.
Thank you.
And also ran into a couple. I apologize for not remembering the young man's name, but we were at Home Depot. Me and the dog made the run on Saturday. And the guy was joking around because I'm wearing a Florida State collar. And the guy goes, oh, that's pretty rough. I go, I know. Some would say that's animal cruelty.
True.
Based on where FSU is these days. He's a Tide fan for joking around about Alabama playing Florida State to start the season. All right, man. On to the stuff. Over the weekend, have you watched the Canadian Open up in north of the Great White North?
A little bit. Not as much as I thought I would, to be honest with you. Because this week is, you know, another major.
Right.
What's going on with Scotty Scheffler?
Well, Ryan Fox wins the RBC Canadian Open, and a great line from Jim Nance on the call. It went to a playoff. He sinks a huge putt to force the playoff, and then the playoffs just went on and on, and guys were missing shots, and Jim Nance called it a pillow fight of a playoff.
Yeah, that's a perfect phrase for it. And by the way, I mean, it seemed like it was cold up there from what I saw.
Yep.
But guys had jackets and stuff on. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. It's June. But, you know, it's Canada, man.
Take off of the Great White North. So what made this more interesting is the par 5 at TPC Toronto's North Course. They kept using this same hole over and over for the playoff, a reachable par 5. So after they basically played it 3 times, the guys on the tour said, you know what? Let's move the pin. So the pin was in a hard left spot. So if you're watching at home, you're going, hey, wait a minute. So some people thought it was dirty pool. I think the folks who run the golf tour were saying, let's keep it moving. Let's get this thing over with, can't we? And at the end of the day, one guy, 3 putts, one guy, 2 putts, makes the birdie. And Ryan Fox gets the win, which punches his ticket for the U.S. Open at Oakmont, which brings us to the next formula for golf, which is if you are the U.S. and you're the PGA, I should say you're the U.S., what is it? It's the USGA, I should say, sorry. I'm trying to get my acronyms correct. The USGA loves to turn the U.S. Open into a torture chamber.
They do.
Famously over the years, really rough. Like, you know, they got greens that are like, you know, trying to put on a pool table. Well, everybody is signing off on this. Do you think it's too rough, Carl, for these guys? Or do you want to see the pros look like we do this weekend? Because it starts Thursday.
No, look, it's rare where you see a low number at the U.S. Open just because of what you're talking about. And what I mean is over the course of a weekend, I don't want to see guys look like weekend warriors out there, Mike. And you know, they're struggling. I want to see the best in the world try to battle each other. And so I always struggle with this particular major because of how hard the course. And by the way, it's supposed to be one of the most beautiful places.
Oakmont outside of Pittsburgh is where the U.S. Open is this year. Xander Schauffele says the thick rough. And you hadn't seen, there's videos where guys drop balls into the rough and
it's gone.
Boom. And literally, it's like you've been to East Lake or lucky enough to walk around East Lake. What that rough looks like, that makes it, honestly, this Oakmont looks like you're out there in the Amazon rainforest. Xander Schauffele says, I don't think people turn the TV on to watch some of the guys, you know, just hit a 200-yard shot onto the green, you know, as like they usually do. He goes, I think they turn on the U.S. Open to see a guy shooting 8 over and suffer. That's part of the enjoyment of playing in the U.S. Open for viewers. I'd like to split the difference. Yes. To a point, it is fun to watch guys struggle. But at the end of the day, I want to see birdies. I want to see excellence.
Correct. Yeah.
See guys grinding like 2 over and stuff.
Yeah. And by the way, some of these shots will be perfect, and they still are going to get bogey or double in some cases. But, yeah, man, this is a survivor weekend, right? That's how I always look at the U.S. Open. If you can survive the first couple of rounds being contention, then you might have a shot to win it. By the way, I joke with my whole Scotty Scheffler phrase, but he is on point, Mike. He could easily win this again.
Yes.
And put another major under
Scotty Scheffler of the field.
Yes.
I'm taking Scotty Scheffler.
Me too.
Right now, he's dialed in. Hey, man, we're looking for some edge for the Braves. They're in Milwaukee. Then they come back home. Maybe they could shake things up and call somebody at Zoo Atlanta and maybe get one of the critters to come out and throw out the first pitch. The White Sox Sox are so woeful. They thought they'd roll it up the flagpole, see, can we get any worse? Let's get a penguin to come out along and throw out the first pitch. I love penguins, big fan. Love the aquarium. I said the zoo, they could call the aquarium. But Pepe the penguin and Dr. Mike are from the local zoo in Chicago. The penguin waddles out to the mound. He doesn't actually throw the baseball. The guy that's in charge of the zoo throws out the first pitch, throws a strike, but it's friggin' adorable. The penguin just does his little penguin walk out to the mound.
That's fun.
Very cute. If you're a guy and you enjoy it,
that's probably the best thing to happen at the park all day.
I got to be honest, because it didn't help the White Sox on the south side. It's a cute little picture of the penguin out there on the mound doing his thing. Can you tell I like animals? I'm like a five-year-old with this stuff. Anyway, they lost anyway, 7-5, and they're having one of the worst seasons ever. It's really between them and the Rockies for the worst in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, look, and the irony for us is if we can win this series, we come home and we get the Rockies, right? That's a recipe to get right.
That should be something you should win a few games.
Correct. I mean, like,
whittle that lead down to 10 games back behind the Mets.
But I'm saying, like, the schedule maybe plays in our favor here.
Right.
If we can go up to Milwaukee and handle it.
We have to talk, not saying you're soft. I mean, if anything, Braves fans are resilient and the glass is truly half full. But looking at some of these text comments, all right, guys, I said to this one guy, keep your receipts, knock yourself out. I mean, they grinded last year. You know, and they were so ill-equipped for the Padres. I think that would be some of the similar, unless Alex Anthopoulos can really simply, beyond magician. I mean, this is like David Copperfield, you know, meets mind freak, Carl, if you're going to try to pull the rabbit out of the hat, or if you're going to fix this team. I can't stand that, Chris Angel. I'm a mind freak.
He was huge, man. He made a lot of money, dude. He made a lot of money.
I'm gonna walk around in my goth look, mind freak. Reminds me of like a Nick Kroll character.
He used to roll up he was at the Pyramid.
He was at Luxor
for a long time. And you'd roll up and there was like a some kind of Lamborghini. I forget what it was out front. And everybody would be like, who's that? And it would be like, that's Chris Angel's Lamborghini.
You know why? Mind freak.
Yeah, I know. It was nuts.
Hey, man, Randy Mack had some funny stuff I heard today on Andy Randy. He mentioned it on Friday. He was really looking forward to having some Randy Mack time. All of the kids and the wife took off to visit friends in Southern California. So Randy basically reveled and relished his alone time, which is funny because there's an article today in the New York Post, how much the average American would pay for some peace and quiet. Now, my wife travels for work a lot, mostly in the spring and fall. We're doing a few more trips and then she's done. But I got to be honest, I kind of like my space and my own time. Do you like your own quiet time?
Yeah, look, I think, first of all, and people are going to be like, probably think I'm crazy. I think if you're married, it keeps your marriage fresh. Mm. And I'm talking about business travel. I'm not just talking about being gone all the damn time.
Right.
But if your husband or your wife works within reason, right? Because there's the other side of this. If you're in the WWE, you're on the road 350 days a year. That's a different animal. But within reason, Mike, I think it keeps things fresh. And I think you actually look forward to seeing her or him when he comes back,
right?
And you want to spend that quality time. Everybody who's been married a while, and I've been married a long time, there are days where you look at each other and you're like, I just need some peace and quiet.
Well, right? I thought this was interesting. Apparently, the average American, I can't agree with this, I wouldn't pay this much, but the average American says they would pay $2,521 for a day of peace and quiet, while parents would pay $1,147. So the age group, it went from anywhere from 25 to 65.
And
so,
I also think that depends on how many, if you have kids,
right,
how many kids you have. Day-day? Day-day? You want a day
of
peace?
How much would you pay for a day of peace?
Yeah, man, listen. and that's grand? Kind of for me. My wife,
you would spend a grand for a day of peace and quiet?
Listen, I know my wife would probably spend 20 grand for a day of peace and quiet.
I believe it.
Four boys and a husband?
Yeah, everybody's running around. Yeah, can I get some peace and quiet? Yeah.
Yeah, again, this is a survey of 2,000 Americans, 30 of whom are parents, 30%, I should say, of whom are parents. The average American says results say would show respondents only get 9.5 hours per month to themselves, with the biggest barriers being family obligations, to your point, work commitments, 32%, 50%, by the way, for family, and then financial constraints, just don't have the ability to, you know, do what you want to do. The biggest barriers, as we said, are work. Most frequent barriers, social obligations, and guilt for finally getting free time. 13% were also listed as reasons respondents don't get enough free time. I got the dog, too. I like, you know, me and the dog just, you know, run around as my boy.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Well, look, I got two. You know? I got two now. And the bottom line is, even with the dogs, like, there's nothing like just being, like I said this, being at the house by yourself, wherever it is, and doing whatever you want.
Right.
Like, no consequences. I've said this. And guys, you can tell me, well, things don't really change when my wife or my girlfriend's gone. Yes, they do. You do things that you normally don't do when they're around just because you can.
How often do you guys argue about television?
I've gotten to the point where I'll say, I want to watch this, and she'll say, I don't, and I'll go, I'll watch it myself.
No problems with the TV?
No.
No, honestly, no.
Yeah,
no.
We're basically doing separate TVs now.
Yeah, I think we're in an era where, you know, almost every household probably has a minimum of five TVs, you know, arguing over TVs.
Well, it's generally some, you know, thing on Netflix you want to watch, and I'm like, oh, this sucks, it's so bleh. So and I'm like, you know, we all do, but there's a lot of times where it's, you know, it's an argument about the TV, so there's part and parcel of maybe your own time to watch what you
want
to watch.
Watch what you want, but you know what she says to me, Mike, it's funny, because I'll be like, oh, I want to watch this looks good, and it could be anything, and then the first 5 minutes, she'll say, this is how I know she doesn't want to watch it, this is not catching me. And I'll be like, yeah, can we watch it for five more minutes?
Right.
Like, can we get into this? This is not moving me right now. That's her signal to me that she's not interested, and I need to watch this on my own.
Becky's interest level, now again, not that she's the biggest NBA fan, but as far as casual fans not interested in Oklahoma City, Indiana, that would be one, because dare I say there was no interest in that at my home last night. Real quick, baseball. We've been mentioning how dynamic the College World Series has been. Big storylines, a lot of passion, a lot of guys screaming at each other. Well, everybody is pretty much set. We got seven teams in, Carl. There can be only one left. Louisville, Oregon State, Arizona, Coastal Carolina. UCLA is waiting for the winner of Duke and Murray State. Murray State, the surprise team. LSU, Arkansas. So you got your usual from the SEC, but that's going to be tonight up in Durham. And then finally today, got some sad news at 82 years of age. A guy that my dad's old partner in NYPD, Michael Jack, used to have, anytime we'd have a get-together, barbecue, there was always some Sly and the family Stone on. He was 82. The dude, well ahead of his time, and a huge influence on Prince. Prince talked about how much he loved his vibe. And I listened to Little Steven's garage, you know, band, channel, I should say. Mm-hmm. They play a lot of this. Some of the amazing stuff from Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, look, there are guys, individuals in music that touch so many others. I think you'd be astounded if you just go look and find out how many people he influenced, whether it be funk, rock and roll.
Right. Chili Peppers love him.
I'm telling you, like, there are so many artists who are like, dude, Sly was it, and how he influenced the music world. Yeah, rest in peace, man. Had a great life.
There's your guy talk, and don't forget, guys, Wednesday we'll be live, the only radio station, live from Flower Branch, talking to players.
No doubt, and I can't wait to see some of the things we're going to be looking for when camp starts in July. By the way, nobody covers the Falcons like we will when it comes to training camp, leading you up to the season, guys. It's funny because Mike told me weeks ago, I don't know, maybe it was 2 months ago, he said, I'm not going to get excited for training camp.
I'm not going to be the Falcons hype man. I lied. I'm going to be the Falcons hype man.
You can't help but get excited with what we did in this draft. And now all the stuff that we're hearing about Michael Penix, it's just you get excited. So I'm excited. I'm already there. I really am.
And again, I thought I wouldn't do it, but you're right. Hope springs eternal. Just like baseball fans, Braves fans, still not giving up on their beloved Braves 14 games back.
Hey, man, we're coming back. We'll tell you the latest. Is there hope for the Falcons to move Kirk Cousins? A lot of people are still saying it's possible. After Aaron Rodgers signs, I'm just saying where? Show me the landing spot. Also, Grant McCauley's going to join us. Chris Sale taking the hill tonight. If you don't think he's motivated to pitch lights out, he is. But can we score runs and not make mistakes to harm ourselves? We'll get into that with Grant and much more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.